Accession number 9751, reel 2.
Mr. Rain, reel 2. We were talking about the daily routine during this early period of training. What time would you have your lunch or dinner?
I should think about 12.
And what sort of meal would that be?
Well, if we were in the camp... I don't know. There was some terrible stuff I know I remember called toad in the hole. God knows what it was. But normally... were eatable potatoes and veggies and meat. In fact, personally, I always marvelled at how they fed us at all. Because I was never... Yes, I was. The whole feeling, when I was young, I was always hungry. And later, when we moved... every penny was spent where we could on extra food.
Could you get extra food at Cochrane?
No. No, you were isolated. We used to get into Durham City.
I'll come to that, the
yes.
Recreational visit. So, after lunch, would you have another training session in the afternoon?
Yes, till about 5 o'clock.
What sort of training did you do in the afternoon?
Oh, much the same thing. There was just... mostly squad drill, as far as I remember.
Did you see the point of squad drill?
Never thought about it. We just did as we were told then.
Had you started weapons training by then?
Well, probably after about 3 months.
Oh, so not in that early stage of Cochrane?
No.
What time would training finish?
Oh, five-ish.
And then what would happen?
Well, you were really free unless there were any guard duties and things like that. You were free for the rest of the day, but there was nowhere to go.
What did guard duties involve?
Well, there'd be a guard on the gates. And there'd be a guard probably on the officers' headquarters. There'd be a guard at the orderly room. They just... well, you couldn't do anything, you... you challenged anybody if they came and saw who they were, what they were. Most times you took no notice, just let them go in. There was nothing to go in for. We never thought about spies or anything, or bombs. You didn't think about anything unpleasant. It was a much better world then than it is today, in all ways.
So, if you weren't on guard duty, what would you do this between five and...
well, we played cards and... we played football, probably.
When you played cards, would you be gambling or just playing...
well, you hadn't much money to gamble with, but I remember playing for halfpennies.
But nothing serious?
No.
You said you were allowed out. Were you allowed out at night?
Well, the older ones and those, like, people that were getting the wages made up... a considerable amount of them, you see. They used to go off to the nearest pubs. As we neither had the money nor the inclination for pubs.
So what would you do?
What did we do? Probably kick the football about.
You wouldn't go out and just wander around the town?
There wasn't a town. Durham City was about 3 miles away. And it wasn't worthwhile going there unless you had any money. And we hadn't any money. We had 7 shillings a week, you see. Mind, it was a different 7 shillings to today. I mean, we used to go to the Castle Hotel in Durham City. I remember it distinctly. And get a very good meal. Which today would cost pounds, and It must have only cost about 3 or 4 shillings. That's as much as I remember about that.
You said earlier that you were moved into huts after about a week. What were these huts like at Cock and Hall?
Oh, very good. I believe we were on the floor, but there were proper wooden huts.
Did they have washing facilities and latrines?
Not at the huts. Oh, you had to walk probably 200 or 300 yards for those. And I believe you got a shower bath about once a week.
What? You said you liked the army lifestyle initially. Were you still getting on well with the army way of living and the discipline and the lack of privacy?
I loved it. And the discipline wasn't like the army discipline, you see. They were our own fellows. They were taken from the ranks. Older band men that had done a bit in the cadets or something like that. Anybody, really, that could shout. And, I mean, if he was a... except for the one or few of the old people that were brought in from the Boer War. Well, they were old... were old bastards.
What was wrong with them?
Different type of person altogether.
What was your dispute with them? What?
With them? Well, we disliked them because... really, to be snobbish, they weren't our class. Yeah, the regular soldier in the Boer War wasn't up to much, you know. And these lot had all been probably privates. And this was an absolute windfall for them, to be made sergeants. Thus, we had one particular one. We called him Nanny, or some of them called him Barlash of the Guard, after the retreat from Moscow. There was a Barlash of the Guard in that, and he was an old, proper old twit.
What was wrong with him? Was it his attitude to the troops? Did you not value his experience?
We didn't value him at all. We hated the sight of him, and we did everything wrong that we could for him.
What was it about him, besides his class? Did he treat you badly in turn? Was he obnoxious?
No, he tried to, but it wasn't that sort of army. I mean, we had an officer. There was one of the finest fellows. Well, he was, I think, the finest fellow I've ever met.
What was his name?
Warmington. He was a barrister from London. And if this old Wilson, this Sergeant Wilson, anybody... got the wrong side of him and he put them on the peg, it never went beyond Warmington. He would never have any of us up at all. He just used to shoo him off.
What about the other sergeants, the ones that were picked out from amongst yourselves?
Well, they were always Bill and Tom and Harry or whatever they were to us.
Were they efficient?
They were efficient enough. Well, they were picked for that. They were older men, you see. The men, we thought they were old. They were 30-ish, probably.
But they were able to do the job of sergeant and corporals effectively in your...
Well, they'd learnt. Probably they weren't 100%, but they picked it up and became efficient enough.
And you were on first-name terms?
Oh, yes, always. And... yes, we were never bossed about. I never had a wrong word that I can think of in the army from anybody.
What about the other officers besides Warmington, the other officers you came into contact?
Didn't come into contact with them. There was only the company captain. He was a gentleman too. He was a parson.
What was his name?
Wayton.
So most of your training was supervised by the various NCOs?
We went a lot, we were quite a lot on our own, with our own platoon. Now there were four platoons to the company, so about 60 men in the platoon.
Which was your platoon, do you remember the
name? Number 8. And we used to go off in separate platoons, way off over the fields. And Mr. Warmington where the others were scuttering about and attacking and falling down and doing mock attacks and working themselves to death. Warmington used to get into a hedge back somewhere, and he used to, I remember him walking up and down, flicking his leg with his cane. Now, what would you like to talk about today? Some form of law. I said, what about railway law? Fancy a talk about railway law? He was a charming man. And, you know, mind, he had a servant in the platoon, I think, who gossiped a lot with him. But he knew every man. He knew his history from birth, I think. And if you whipped a weekend off without permission, he knew about it on the Monday morning. And he used to come round and he used to say, had a good weekend, Smith. He'd know exactly the man had been off the weekend. He would never say anything. And yet, I think those men would have died for him, you know. We all would. I personally was only a young, well, I was very young for my years. I worshipped him. I thought there was nobody ever like him.
So that's the officers and the NCOs. How did you get on with your fellow soldiers? You mentioned earlier you
thought... Oh, perfectly. I was always a boy's boy. Men. I'd never had a girl. I'd never been out with a girl. I'd never been to a party. We hadn't parties. I'd never been to a dance. It was all boys with me in football. Never thought of anything else.
So you liked the spirit amongst
you? Oh, I love that, yes.
Did you have a... Was your special friend still with you?
Yes, oh yes. We were inseparable. We were in... From being about 14 years of age, we were inseparable, always. And he was there, and we went off together. And as I say, we used to get into Durham City. If we had the money, we used to get a boat out, go up the river. Yes. It was a new life for us.
How did you get on with the local civilians in the area?
Well, we never met them. There weren't any. We were out at Cock and Hall, you see, the nearest... was a farm at the bottom of the ford.
What about when you went into Durham on one of these little trips?
Oh, they were all very nice. I don't think there was anything at all. You had a little bit of money, the shops treated you all right. I mean, what did we go in there for? Just to feed? I can't remember spending any money going in the shop. I went, had my photograph taken. I remember going in there.
Now, you were at Cock and Hall from October 1914 till December, when you volunteered for a mission, which we'll come to. During that time, had you actually got on to rifle training or bayonet drill or...
Oh, yes, we got done by then, but...
Right.
We only had so many rifles to a platoon.
What did they teach you about rifles from start to finish?
Well, everything. Cleaning, disassembling, shooting. No. How to shoot, but not actually. We didn't do any shooting.
You didn't do your firing course?
We had a small bore rifle range, and we had a bit of practice on that with the small rifles.
How did you take to it?
Like a duck to water. Yes.
Did you find the advice the instructors gave you helpful, or were you just a natural, you didn't need their help?
Well, I knew, to start with. I'd had air guns, you see. The same thing, sights, couldn't go wrong.
What about bayonet drill?
Yes, well, we did bayonet drill. Of course, with sacks suspended. That had been drilled as it should be, but there was no retaliation. It was a different matter from the real thing. But we had to perform as if it was the real thing.
Did you learn how to defend yourself with a rifle in bayonet fighting?
Oh, yes.
Were you taught how to do anything else? Were you taught how to dig trenches, for instance, or...?
Oh, we had to do that, naturally. Well, we had spells at digging trenches and spells at filling them in. And
did they teach you anything about the theory of trench warfare, which had started by now? Late 1914?
No. Not to my recollection, I cannot remember anything about that.
And you'd be on you wouldn't have any bomb training, hand grenade training at time?
Yes.
Before Christmas?
Yes, dud training with bombs. With dud bombs. Mills bombs, of course, without the detonators.
Before 1914? Before Christmas?
Oh, I couldn't say that.
Did you have any tactical exercises, you know, mock advances? And
oh, yes, frequently, attacks and things, and a lot of old-fashioned rubbish from the Boer War with scouts out ahead of you.
Did you know it was old-fashioned then, or is that a later?
No. The only thing that ever struck us as being ridiculous was to rig soldiers out in red coats. And I mean, the people that did that in the Boer War should have been shot on sight.
But they weren't doing that to you now.
But we were all in khaki. They had learnt that much.
So you thought your training was adequate as it was going on? You thought this is what you needed and it would make you a real soldier?
Well, we thought so.
And you thought it would be adequate for what you'd meet when you went to France?
We never questioned it. We didn't. You didn't question things in those days like you do today. You did as you were told.
Now, I mentioned before, they asked for volunteers in December, very early December 1914.
That's right.
Could you tell me that story of how you came to volunteer and what you were told at the time?
Oh, I think I was told that they wanted so many men. Anyhow, I thought, oh, it's a change again. We're in for this. So we went off and spun a story about being a member of the Hartlepool Rifle Shooting Club. And they just signed your name, and I think they picked about 200 or so out of the 1,000. And lo and behold, we landed at Hartlepool. And we were put in a Hart Road schools, and then after a week or so moved off to the Borough Hall, where we stayed.
What had you been told you were volunteering for?
We weren't told anything. You never were told anything. You're just there. If you wanted to go, you could go. They wanted the picked men to go, the men most experienced. How they could look upon me as being an experienced, Lord only knows. But anyhow, I was there, and we were at Hartlepool. It might have been anywhere. But
what were you on? Coastal defence?
Coastal defence. We used to go out at night and man some trenches, and we had different posts in Hartlepool. And then, lo and behold, there was this...
Well, before we go on, can you tell me a little more detail where your posts were in Hartlepool?
Well, there was one near the batteries. There were 2 6-inch guns. And there was a post there, and there was a post where I was on the top of the promenade, a signal station. I think that was all the post. The others used to go way above Hartlepool. There were some sandbanks, and they lined these sandbanks.
Now, before the main incident when the Hartlepool was bombarded, what would the average night's work be, or day's work? Were they manned during the day and night, these posts?
No, No, I don't think there were. I think there were just none to admit.
And what would you do at your post by the signal station?
Well, there'd be one man looking out and the others just sitting about, trying to keep warm. We probably had a little stove or something, if we hadn't, we...
Would you have a section to patrol up and down?
No, we hadn't. Not
so it was just a post?
Yes.
What did the lookout keep... Did he have binoculars or telescope or anything?
No, nothing like that.
And it was taken in turns?
Yes.
Who was in charge of the post?
We would be a corporal. And you'd do 2 hours on and four off. Usually.
2 hours looking out?
Yes.
And then 4 hours...
down.
Keeping warm.
Yes.
Right, so that you were doing this. Now, you weren't doing it for long before the German fleet appeared. Could you tell me, in as much detail as possible, the whole story of that? Did you have any forewarning that they were about to come?
Well, we hadn't, but apparently they knew that these ships were out. They didn't know where they were going or what they were going to do, but they knew there might be trouble. But that didn't seem to extend as far as the colonel in charge of these guns, who didn't make an appearance till after breakfast, till after the whole show was over. So he couldn't have known. As a matter of fact, he was a local plumber. But he was colonel over there. When they were manned, I remember some horrible cockneys. A horrible type. I think they'd be regulars.
Now, what happened to you that night? Were you at your post?
And that morning? Yes, I was on this signal station when suddenly these guns opened out and we were right exposed. We were on the top of the moor above the promenade with just a brick building. Small brick building.
That was the signal station, was it?
Yes. But I don't remember being in this building. We were outside, mostly.
And what happened? What can you remember?
It was this awful row and getting up and looking out, and I thought, as a matter of fact, that they'd made a mistake and were firing the wrong way. Our lot. We never dreamt that it was a bombardment. All I could see was the flashes of the guns.
Could you see the effect of the shells?
No, you could hear them going overhead. And you could see one or two houses being hit. And of course there were one or two shells quite near us.
What was it like to be close to a 12-inch shell landing?
Terrifying. We were really petrified. We couldn't do anything. I mean, in all the war later on, the hardest part of the war was sitting or cowering and not being able to retaliate.
Was a 12-inch shell, what sort of explosion did it make when it hit?
Terrific. Terrific.
So what were you doing during the bombardment? Just got your head down or...?
Looking for a corrugated iron or something to get underneath.
Did you realise corrugated iron wouldn't be much use to
you? No. As long as you got out of sight or did something. Yes.
Did you do anything positive? I mean, besides looking for cover, did you have any duties you were supposed to be trying to carry
out? Nobody, no.
So it was just a matter of taking cover?
Every man for himself.
Did you realise it was the Germans after a while? Or?
Oh, yes, sure, afterwards, yes.
What time was this that you first became aware, roughly?
It was about 8 in the morning, I think.
So it would be still fairly dark?
It was December. December the 16th. It was a misty morning, that's all I remember.
Was visibility... What was visibility?
Poor. I have heard people say that they saw these ships, but I think I would have to have binoculars to see them. I certainly looked from a perfect position and I could see flashes, but I never caught sight of a ship.
How long did this go on, as far as you were concerned?
Probably 20 minutes, half an hour.
You say some of them landed close to you. Did you get up when it had finished? What happened then?
Well, there was a terrific one in front of us. And I waited till the lull, went out to sea and found this, went out to see what had happened, and saw this base of this 11-inch shell, which I tried to pick up, and it was too hot. And I came back and found a sandbag and got it into the sandbag eventually. The first thing struck me, what a lovely souvenir. And afterwards I was proved right, because they were selling lumps of shrapnel and whatnot in shops. But mine was a perfect one. It was a solid base of this 11-inch shell.
What happened to it?
Well, I came back, got it back to the billets. I think it weighed about 2 stone. Got it, we were sleeping on the floor in the Borough Hall, and I put it under my bedroll, and we were allowed out after this, and I came off home to see how the folks were. Left this there, and when I got back at night, it had disappeared. Somebody had got it and given it to the honorary colonel of our battalion, Colonel Burden from Castle Eden, who I heard had it as a base of a clock. It was very annoying, because I and the rest of the guard, there were 6 or 7 of us, I said, oh, we'll shop this and have a good feed. Well, I reckoned afterwards I should have got about £10 for it.
Was this, I mean, that's no, this, that was a case of theft then. Was that unusual? Did you find out?
No, it wasn't a case of theft according to army rules. I was not entitled to it.
So, hadn't been a private individual, someone had become aware of it and just told the officers and they'd taken it. Was that what had happened, or?
No, they knew, they'd heard about it and they chatted about it, and it got round to the officers, and from there it got round to, wouldn't it be good to give to the colonel?
And you weren't consulted?
No. Well, you know, even in shipyards and engineering shops, apprentices, if they invent anything, there's often a clause in the agreement that invention belongs to the firm they work for. And so in the army, of course, you hadn't any. You weren't entitled to anything.
Now, another after effect of this was that your unit suffered some casualties. Did that affect you at all?
We didn't know then. We didn't know till afterwards. Matter of fact, one of them, Theo Jones, he was in our section. And he was killed. Well, I've been round since, and there's a plaque up where it was supposed to happen. But a matter of fact, in my opinion, it didn't happen where this plaque is. It happened the other side, about 20 yards away. But there wasn't room on the side where I reckon it was, so they put the plaque where they could put the plaque. If you follow us.
Were you upset by these first, when you did find out, by these first casualties? How did the unit?
Oh, we were upset, because he was a fine fellow. And I always remember the burial, you see, going through the reverse arms with the rifles and that sort of thing, and they got a band in for the funeral march and that sort of thing. Very impressive.
Was he the only one from the battalion killed?
I'm not quite sure, but I think there were 2 or 3 killed.
What was the reaction to the casualties amongst the civilians? Because there were quite a lot killed.
About 200 and odd, I think.
Yes,